listening to the Simple Worship Podcast, recorded each week at University Christian Church in Fort Worth, Texas. To learn more about our services, ministries, and outreach opportunities, please visit universitychristian.org. Well, today the lectionary is taking us out of the Gospel of John, where we've been for a little while, and hopping over to the Gospel of Luke. This is the story that we're going to hear today. Still, oh, we lost to Zoomers. Sorry, Zoomers. I knew that was going to happen.
Yeah, but it's okay. We'll get the all fixed by next week.
All right.
We'll get the internet.
So it's still Easter. It's the night of Easter. That morning, some women had gone to Jesus' tomb in Luke's version and had found the tomb was empty. There were two angels inside the tomb, and they asked the question, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead? Jesus has risen, just as he told you that he would." So the women run back to the apostles and tell them what they've seen, this empty tomb, what the angels said, and they did not believe them. Luke says that the apostles thought it was an idle tale. But Peter ran to the tomb and saw that it was empty, and he was amazed. Then Luke switches locations, and we find two disciples walking down the road to a place called Emmaus. Jesus starts walking alongside them. They don't know it's Jesus. They don't recognize that it's Jesus. But this stranger starts interpreting scripture for them, starting with Moses and going through the prophets, saying that Jesus, the Messiah, was the fulfillment of these prophecies and the promises of God in the Hebrew scriptures, the Old Testament. So they stopped for the evening. They invited this stranger to eat with them. And when Jesus broke the bread, it was revealed to them that it was Jesus. And then Jesus just vanished. He disappeared from their sight. And it was then they looked back and thought, you know, we should have known that was him from the way our hearts were burning when he was talking about the scriptures. So they run back to Jerusalem to tell the apostles what had happened to them. And they're like, yeah, we believe because Peter saw him too. And I'm sure the women were annoyed by that because I know I am. But we're going to pick up at Luke 24, starting at verse 36. And we'll split the scripture in two pieces today. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I, myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. Jesus said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So when I was in about middle school, we had this assignment, and I can't remember all the details of it, but it was kind of like a Mad Libs thing where, you know, like use a verb ending in ing or use a proper noun here. And so one of the sentences, the assignment was a noun that's a living thing. Well, I was a real good church-going boy, you know, I was the kid that would witness to the unchurched boys down the road whenever they would come to play, and I don't know why they kept coming, but I decided that I was going to use Jesus as a noun for a living thing. But then I got kind of stuck, and I was like, well, I know he died, and then I know he came back to life, but then he went into heaven, so like, is he alive now? Like we are. So I was real confused and just kind of thinking about this. So I turned to my mom, who, you know, was my expert for all things religious. And I said, "Mama, is Jesus alive?" And then after I applied some ointment to my singed off eyebrows, I confidently used Jesus as a noun for a living thing because my mama had made it very clear that he was indeed alive.
Yeah.
He is indeed alive. Sorry, Mama. So Jesus's followers are, I think, in a kind of a similar dilemma because they're not sure what to make of this situation. I mean, Jesus had repeatedly told them, I'm going to die, and in 3 days I'm going to rise again. Here he is. But they can't quite believe it. Their human brains are trying to make sense of how this could be. Jesus had appeared to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, but then he disappeared like a ghost. And now he just appeared in their presence like a ghost. He says to them, peace be with you, which was a common greeting, kind of like shalom. But when Luke uses this phrase, it usually has a deeper meaning, something to do with salvation. So Jesus is offering peace, shalom, and saving grace by this statement. So they're startled, they're terrified, they thought they're seeing a ghost, and Jesus is like, no, it's me, I'm real, look, touch me, I have skin, I have bones, I have scars, it's really me. And he offers himself to them. So this is not like an animated corpse, he's not a vampire, he's not a ghost. This is an embodied flesh and bone Jesus. My mom would be so proud. And it says that they were happy, that they were in their joy, but they were still wondering and still not believing. Like, this is just too good to be true. How can this be? And then Jesus says, y'all, I'm hungry, or the Aramaic equivalent to that. So they give him a piece of fish, and he eats it. Ghosts don't eat. So Jesus has offered his bodily proof. Touch me, look at me, see me. And then he ate. What happens next is really important. Starting verse 44. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses to these things. So these people that knew Jesus the best saw him physically raised, risen from the grave, just like he said, something that we have not had the opportunity to experience, and yet they still doubted, they still wondered, they still could not believe what was going on. The physical proof was not enough for them to provide or produce the faith that was required. It took a combination of this physical evidence and Christ's illumination of the scriptures to get them around to belief. So twice now, Jesus revealed himself in physical form and proved his existence, revealed himself during food, when he broke the bread at Emmaus and when he ate the piece of fish with the disciples. On two occasions now, he has illuminated and opened the minds of his followers with scripture, telling them the story of Abraham and Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, and revealing that he himself was in all of those stories, that he is the fulfillment of all of those stories. It is a story of their ancestors. It is a story of their faith. And now he has used the past, the story of their faith, the present, the proof of his physical existence, to show them a future, to make them witnesses to a future where salvation, where grace, where mercy, where love is available to everyone, to the whole world. One of the commentators said, God's past, present, and future work together for salvation. And I was just thinking this week that now this story is in our scriptures. This story is in our past. We are the future that they were thinking about, that Jesus was pointing toward. But one day we're going to be somebody's past. There are people coming after us who will be looking back on us, on how we lived our lives, on what our community of faith did and believed and proclaimed. And so the question we have to ask is, how are we going to live our lives? How are we going to be witnesses? How are we going to show that we are open, that our minds have been opened by the illumination of Scripture that Christ offers to us? How are we going to do that for the folks who come after us? What kind of witness is our life? What kind of witness is our church? What kind of witness is our family? These are questions to ponder and to think about and to wrestle with and to live in the light and the knowledge of the risen Christ who loves and offers this freedom and this grace to everyone. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Simple Worship Podcast. If you enjoyed today's sermon, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with others. To learn more, please visit universitychristian.org.